Hello, I'm Alberto Salvato. Welcome to Crime Time, a Virginia criminal law podcast. I'm here with Anna Dvorak, Anthony Norse, and Ann Thayer. Enjoy the show.
So here it is, legal disclaimer, because we are lawyers and we've got to write one. So if you are listening to this podcast, thank you. We sincerely hope you are listening to this podcast for its entertainment value and not with the intention of acquiring legal advice for any individual case or situation. I mean, come on, you wouldn't take advice from someone you have never met or spoken to directly, right? If you were bleeding profusely, you wouldn't listen to a podcast in hopes of a bandage somehow materializing over the internet and onto your 3D printer. Seeking actual legal advice can be just as important as a tourniquet. The hosts of this podcast are in no way intending to create an attorney-client relationship with any listener. Sorry, we are sure you all are great people, but we cannot stress enough how little we know of you and your case. And rather than risk an awkward moment, let us just remember we have never met. Nothing on this platform should be taken as legal advice for any individual case or situation. We are just a group of friends with differing opinions and viewpoints, which we will try to explore through discussions of current events, law changes, and whatever else floats our fancy.
And this episode, Hot Mic. Your jail calls are being recorded. Well, as an attorney, I could tell you this, and I'm sure everyone else on this podcast has experienced this in their careers, but if I have a client in jail, the first thing I tell them is not to talk about their case to their loved ones or to anyone else on the phone. And there's a specific reason for that. Would you guys agree with me on that?
100%.
I would concur.
Why would that be?
Because your jail calls are being recorded.
So is that beautiful singing voice.
And American Idol's not coming for you or
no.
me.
But so I will tell the clients if they want them to stop recording, you could just sing and people will usually stop listening. So here's what happened. Go ahead, Tony. What were you going to say?
I was going to say, not only are they being recorded, they're also being listened to by prosecutors.
Yes. Not only prosecutors, by police officers. They actually have, I think, a designated police officer or even the investigating officer or detective will sit there and listen to jail calls while they're sitting in their car, while they're just going back and forth. That's what they do for quote unquote fun, but it's part of their job. And the reason why is because for some reason, people in jail ignore the recording and the warning that says this conversation will be recorded. It's
but
just
Alberta,
insane.
I have a question for you. What if you talk in code?
Oh, I get that too. They talk in code and sometimes the code is, you know, they add an A at the end of the name, end of the word. It's like, yo, no A.
Or your call leads to other subpoenas or search warrants and things that they go find the people you're talking to and get stuff from there, because cops aren't stupid and neither is the Commonwealth. And if they're hearing things on there that's still showing like criminal behavior or you telling people to do things or hiding things, and they're going to go seek out that evidence. So,
right. And in the code, like what Anna was saying, there's no code that exists that they can't. They can't break.
Certainly none that my clients have. I know that Alberto used to tell a story that the code one of his clients came up with the language of Spanish. I want everyone to know that Spanish is a well-known language in the United States.
Yes.
It's not a code. It's just a language.
Well, I will tell you that there is, and I had this recently, there's, I think it's called Quechua. The language is Quechua. And they have to have a special translator come in for a criminal case, come in by Zoom. She's the only one they could find is in California. She speaks English and Quechua. Well, I had this trial set up and she was not available. And next thing I know, they brought in a translator who only spoke Spanish and Quechua. And I said, that's not going to work for our trial. So maybe there's a way to speak Quechua and not get you recorded, but that I won't recommend that to any of those. I think it's Guatemalan people.
But there's a couple languages from Central America that only like 500 people speak. And I'm sure there's some from other parts of the world, but it's just amazing that there's some languages, not only that only 500 people speak, but those people are not fluent in any other language. I think Judge Bernhard one time had a guy that it was either Quechua or a similar language. And the guy would just nod the whole time when people were talking to him in Spanish, but he didn't speak Spanish. He didn't speak English. He just spoke that one language and they actually couldn't. I don't think they ever could go forward on the trial.
No, it's translation's a problem. It definitely is. I had a question for Anna. For Anne, protective orders, can you get copies of like the the jailhouse recordings to maybe go against?
When there's officers and detectives on it, they've gotten the calls for violation.
Do you think you can get them, like a subpoena, just to sneak them and use them in your case?
I think possibly, yeah. I haven't had to do that, but yeah.
Yeah,
because I've had them handed to me by the come up and the officer for criminal matters where my client was the one charged too. So I'm thinking, I don't see why you couldn't issue a subpoena. The issue too becomes what account they're using, because everybody that's held at the jail has their own phone account, but sometimes they try to use other people's phone accounts to hide conversations and who they're contacting and things like that. So if the word gets out that that's happened, then they might seek subpoenas or things for other accounts or track the numbers, you know. So,
and by the way,
they're being smart by doing that, but it can get you in trouble.
Those calls are being recorded too. And so if the detective assigned to those people's cases are listening to their phone and hears a different voice, they're going to let the other guy know. I mean, what we're all getting here too is there's not a lot of codes. Everything's being recorded and you're just giving evidence on yourself. Now, sometimes I get being in jail is isolating and people want to know what's going on outside, but you know, you're not helping anyone by talking about the case. And it's not so much that you're on the phone going, I'm guilty, I'm guilty, I'm guilty, because you shouldn't, you know, say that or anything about like, I'm sorry, I hurt you or whatever. If it's a domestic assault case, it seems to be admitting to the crime and also probably violating whatever protective order is in place. But there's also things that people are talking to their friends about and saying, hey, do you know this person? Do you know this person? Can you call this person? Can you help me? Right. Well, all those are things that are being recorded. You have a lawyer. Go tell the lawyer. Call your lawyers. I want you to come and see me, so I can talk to you about this, so it's not recorded. But I get being impatient. Your lawyer can't see you at every possible moment, and this is what happens. But seriously, I think it's amazing to me how many people are warned that these phone calls are recorded.
And I mean, it's right they above. There's signs above the phones. They give you a verbal warning on the phones. Like, you're told by your attorneys. There's handbooks for the jail that presumably some people read them, some probably don't. There's all kinds of ways that you should know that they're being recorded, and people still, you'd be surprised what they say.
Absolutely.
It's amazing. There's a lot of knowledge inside those jails. And what I mean about that is the residents of jails are usually very with it as far as like the cases, the trials. Oftentimes they become jailhouse attorneys. I'm sure you've had experiences when a client is telling you what they've heard, or they heard somebody get out of jail because of a murder case, and they just got a fine, things like that. What I'm trying to say is there's a misconception that when you're inside the jails that you have actually become an attorney. But you'd be surprised that they wouldn't talk to each other and tell each other, don't talk on the phone or don't say anything of substance on the phone to family or anything like that. It's just, it's mind-boggling to me because it just happens all, I see it every single day. And not only while the case is pending, I have had prosecutors and police officers come to me after a person's convicted and tell me that that person is still talking about the case to their mother, talking about the prosecutor to so-and-so. They listen to it on their free time. It's crazy.
Well, they must have nothing else to do on their free time, because after the conviction, they need to move on. But seriously, people need to know and protect themselves and take it to heart. This isn't a game. They're used against them all the time. I mean, on the flip side, what we're talking about protective orders, I had a case where a guy was charged with violations of protective order. And they're like, oh, he keeps calling her from the jail. And I said, well, it's because she keeps visiting him at the jail. And so for whatever reason, the jail kept letting her come and have contact visits when they used to have contact visits. And she would come in. So like the jail knew there was a protective order. But she would come in. So when I told the police officer she was voluntarily visiting him at the jail, he was like, we're just dropping these charges. This is ridiculous. Because even though it's still a violation, at least those visits were not, because he was in the jail. How could he physically go see her? She was like literally going to the jail to see him. But all those things, all those visits, all those contacts, whoever comes to see you, they're all recorded. Now, there are certain things that are not supposed to be recorded or looked at. Legal mail. If you send letters to your lawyer and your lawyer sends letters back, they are not supposed to be reviewed by the jail. And I don't know about you guys, but I've heard that in some of the jails in Virginia, the regional jails, I have heard that for quote unquote security purposes, legal mail has been open. Is that your understanding as well?
I think they check.
They open it and will scan it sometimes so that the actual letter doesn't go through, but a scanned copy the letter goes through.
And it also depends on what envelope you use to send it. If you send an envelope with any metal fasteners on it, they will take it out of that. So technically it is opened. I once sent legal mail and one of those accordion files, and they did not give the accordion file to my client because it had like these reinforcement things that could be taken out and be and used as a shank. And that was something I hand delivered to the jail. But regional jails, they're as far as, you know, once you go to the DOC, you have to send all mail to a place out in State Farm, Virginia. I don't know where it is, but I'm sure there's a Jake out there. You send it out to this place and they review everything and then send it to the actual like DOC.
I've always sent it to the actual jail. The prison.
I have an individual.
I sent the copy one.
Yeah, I have an individual now who my understanding, and maybe I'm wrong, but my understanding is that it's got to go through State Farm and they review everything.
They may, well, I haven't sent something to a prison in a while, so maybe there is a change. But I know that there was a time where people were labeling things legal mail and it was sent like allegedly from an attorney and it wasn't sent from an attorney. There are things like that. And that's another thing is like, you can't just call somebody.
Drugs and stuff. Like there's been drugs and things sent like under the pretense of coming from a lawyer.
Right. And it's not coming from a lawyer. And in fact, sometimes it'll like kind of fake your lawyer stuff. And so the jails will call and be like, hey, did you send a package to this inmate and to investigate these situations? And so pretty much every contact that you have with anyone, if you're incarcerated, is going to be looked at and is going to be scrutinized.
And speaking of mail, that doesn't happen as much anymore. I mean, there's still mail, but there's also the iPads that a lot of the jails have now where there's accounts. And if it's not attorney-client privilege, the jail can access those and read them. They can get subpoenas for them. And right. if you're not signed up under an attorney account, the only way your things are protected and the jail's not accessing and seeing those is if you're under the attorney. So it's important to make sure that, I mean, all of us know that we have to be approved as the attorney privilege. So it's privileged and confidential, but it applies just as it does to phone calls. If you're emailing and sending things through that iPad to other people on your account, like it can lead to trouble and things as well.
And the same thing with video calls as well. A lot of people are doing video calls these days.
With the jails in GTL, which is one of the Global Tel Link is one of the ones that does the video calls, you know, if they're signed up as an attorney, as you guys said, it is privileged. They're not supposed to record it. I will say that, by the way, GTL is probably the worst service I've ever been a part of. So like it's been broken. I can't see anything for my client. I try to visit him using video visits and I have to go out to the jail and do GTL there because it apparently only works where it's inconvenient for me. But Anna, generally,
I think your screen froze. I'm just joking, Ann. I was saying maybe it's your system that screws up and not the global.
it was kind of confusing.
You're fine.
I think it's you. Because basically I log on as just a black screen. I'm like, all right, that's cool. So the bottom line is, you know, whether it's JPay, if you're sending emails from the jail, doing any of those things, I will use JPay with a client if they're in prison, but I'll do it just to say, hey, your appeal was denied. I will send you a copy of it, right? Or, you know, you'll be able to do a ministerial thing that doesn't require an attorney-client relationship. It just says, hey, can you send me the final order of my case, right? Can you send me this piece of paper? Can you send me the transcript? JPay is great for that, but there's nothing in that discussion that is privileged, and there's nothing in that discussion that is harmful to the client. But if the person wants to talk about their case with you, or the next steps, you can't talk about it on that with any expectation that there's privacy.
So one thing I want to point out too, and I'm going to ask Ann and Tony this, when you speak to a client who is in jail, the client in jail is not alone in a room taking this phone call. Is that right? They're surrounded by other inmates.
It depends on the jail. It depends on the jail. Some jails have booths for the inmates, even for phone calls. I believe Fairfax, you're out in the room, unless you're in isolation.
So I typically mention that to the client to make sure that they know that whatever they're saying can be overheard by others. Some of the time, the client doesn't care. They're like, that's fine. I'm happy to talk about it anyway.
And there's no attorney-client privilege with the people who hear that. So,
correct.
Yeah, so that's where you have to be careful because you can get burned as an attorney. So if you talk to your client and you're speaking with them, just make sure that there is nobody around who can hear what he's saying, or just speak to, you know, and have them answer yes or no questions.
And that way, that's what I was going to say. Oftentimes, they'll tell them, I'm going to ask you a bunch of questions. Just answer yes or no. Or if you don't understand, I'll ask a different question.
Yeah, it's knowledgeable. I mean, I guess that this episode really is helpful to both attorneys and future inmates. Sorry.
Well, look, maybe for someone who right now is doing a three-way with their, well, that didn't sound right. Oh, by the way.
Whoa. Reach out and touch someone.
When you call somebody, when I mention a three-way call, when you call somebody and then they patch in your lawyer on a three-way call, that conversation is not confidential. It's not confidential right. With the jail, and it's not confidential. And people do it all the time. And sometimes they don't even tell the attorney that they're calling. They'll call and say, hey, ma'am, I'm looking for an attorney for my son. And I'll say, oh, okay. And I'll talk to that person and I'll be like, all right, well, let me get you back. He'll call you back. And they're like, and I'm like, are you calling from a jail? And they'd been patched in three-way with another person. And the other person just never said anything. And that whole conversation about what happened and the kid and this and all this stuff, that's not privilege in any way. It's not confidential. It's all being recorded.
For sure.
So don't do that.
So don't do it. So this don't was a it. Quick... Anne and Tony, do you guys have anything to add as far as the jail calls? When you guys were doing time, did you make any phone calls?
I subscribe to the philosophy that you should always listen to your lawyer. And if your lawyer says don't call and don't talk about the case, then don't talk about the case. I'll leave that as my answer.
I'm still in jail and I'm going to start not talking to people because I'm not allowed to. My attorney told me not to.
Shut the jail door. Shut the front jail door. Is that what
it is? Shut the jail door. I don't
know. Shut the front door. Shut the jail door. I don't get it. Just shut the front door of the jail.
Yep.
It's hard to. It's not as smooth as the other one. Shut the front door.
Now just hang up the phone, miss. So it's end of this public service announcement. Don't make calls, and if you have to, make it only to your lawyer. And even then, don't really make one at all.
Other thing I'm going to say is I usually don't talk about factually specific things. I'll say, don't tell me the facts. And I only give them like court dates. And there's only certain things I will do, even though I know the protected calls and even on the email with the iPads and stuff. I tend to save those for the in-person one, because it's more serious and the client, I think they deserve to meet with you in person for that stuff. But for the quick things, like I'll say, don't tell me what happened. Just tell me who family member that I have as an emergency contact, like, you know what I mean? Who would have it, evidence that I can go get, things like that. I don't necessarily get into the facts with them. And that's the only other thing
I'll say. I think it's also important to let family members know the same thing. Don't try and talk about the case with the person in the jail, because they're probably going to want to answer the question. So if the family knows not to talk about the case, and the client is not to talk about the case, the
chances still ignore you.
Yeah, but it's usually the family calling up and asking all these questions, and you know, a lot of times it's that. But I will tell you, during COVID, when people were in quarantine, I had to get a lot more information. I think we all did, using the email system that was set up, and that went into the, you know, we had to do it for bond information, for all that stuff. And in order to get into the case and properly do a bond motion, you have to kind of know some stuff. But
there's exceptions to everything, but yeah. Asking bond stuff, where do you live? Those kind, that's not anything that you're worried about people hearing about this. You know what I mean? Maybe the mental health stuff, but you're going to argue that at the bond anyway. So it's not like it's
true. So for those who may be in jail and hear this, or those who just left jail and are hearing this, if you just left jail and spoke on the phone, sorry, you might be screwed. If you're going to be in jail in the future, just shut the front door and don't talk to anybody on the phone. Please, it'll make your attorney's job that much harder if you say anything to anyone other than your attorney on the phone. And if you do speak with your attorney on the phone, make sure there's nobody around you, especially the correction officers.
And if you have a friend in jail, be a good friend and don't talk to them on the phone.
Yep.
And when the jail door closes, shut the front door. Thanks for joining us on Crime Time. Please join us again for our next episode.
If you enjoy our podcast, Crime Time, with Virginia defense attorneys, be sure to share our podcast with someone that you know. You can find our podcast on most of the major platforms like Spotify, Google, and Apple, as well as some of the smaller podcast platforms. We also post on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and LinkedIn, so you can find our episodes there every week on Tuesday at 9 a.m. If you want to leave us a review or a comment and tell us what topics you'd like to hear about, we always welcome feedback, and we're always looking for new ideas and guests to bring onto our show. We hope you keep listening, and thanks for being a supporter of our podcast.